What's going on, guys, and welcome back to the Champ Cave. We are back, as I mentioned yesterday, ready to talk all things entertainment. We're going to start off with Monday Night Raw that just happened last night, February 19th, 2024. Of course, today is February 20th, so let's get to it. Monday Night Raw, the road to WrestleMania continues. I want to thank you all again for listening, tuning in, and sticking around. It's been a long time since I've popped up on here and uploaded a podcast. I did pop up yesterday for the first time in a long time to let you all know the future of the Champ Cave podcast, and this would be the first step, and I'll be talking about Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, PLEs, pay-per-views for WWE, all sorts of other entertainment, Marvel, DC, and a whole bunch more sports, of course, other sports leagues, MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL, et cetera, and all things music as well. So I'm going to be all over the place. So in case you missed that, definitely check it out when you can. And let me know what you think. I also need your help to kind of see what you're looking to listen to. So I talk about everything. I want to hear, for example, how long you want episodes to be, or maybe how short. What kind of ideas you may have for me to better the program for you. So definitely take a listen to that. It's about 10 or 11 minutes or so, and it's definitely worth it. But let's get into Monday Night Raw, shall we? All right, so unlike previous Monday Night Raw or even SmackDown, there was no talking to open the show for Monday Night Raw. It was Cody Rhodes taking on Drew McIntyre, opening Raw. And of course, on the road to WrestleMania, there's a lot of story, a lot of filler, and things that need to be built and continued. But in this case, Cody and Drew opened the show, which is very rare, especially for Monday. SmackDown, you'll see more fighting, more matches, rather, starting off the show. Less talking there because it's 2 hours, Raw's 3 hours. But nonetheless, Cody versus Drew was an entertaining match. Went on 20-plus minutes. I didn't get the exact time. But ultimately, Drew McIntyre did win after interference by Jimmy Uso and Solo. So Jimmy and Solo, who of course are on SmackDown, just added more fuel to the fire of this whole storyline with the Bloodline and Cody Rhodes. Everyone was excited. You could tell by the crowd's reaction. It was like, this is pretty cool. That's where the whole, you know, split brand thing comes and brings excitement to WWE. Because sometimes it's like, well, wrestler X is on SmackDown, for example, and then he pops up on Raw all the time. It's like, what's the point of having brand split? You know, having, for example, LA Knight is on SmackDown, and he appeared last Monday on Raw with no promotion. It was just kind of thrown together there, and it felt weird. He's a big top name, and they just do him on Raw. It didn't make sense. The fans are kind of even confused. But in this case, last night's Raw with Jimmy and Solo popping up, it worked out because it added to the storyline. They attacked Cody. They cost him the match. McIntyre hits him with the kick. 1, 2, 3. And Cody, I mean, when was the last time he was pinned? All I can think of really is WrestleMania last year. And of course, the same thing happened. Solo attacks Cody, hits him, and knocks him down, and then he loses. And that's what happened here in Raw. So Cody loses to McIntyre to open up Monday Night Raw. And I'm just going to go, of course, just off the matches. Raw has backstage segments and all that, but we're not going to go through everything if it didn't have any sort of impact on the show, or of course, heading towards WrestleMania. And this Saturday is the Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia. So I'll skip anything that might have been minor on the show. Now, after Cody versus McIntyre, we had the Women's Battle Royal for the last spot in the Women's Chamber match in Perth this Saturday. And Raquel Rodriguez came back. She returned and shocked fans in attendance. I'm not going to be dramatic about it. And like, everyone went crazy. But they seemed to be pretty excited. She got a nice ovation, and then they cut to commercial. And then the other ladies came down. I think it felt like it was about 15 or so women. It felt like the Royal Rumble, but of course, it's a battle royal, so it's a different type of match, elimination match. But Raquel did return. She eliminated Chelsea Green at the end. It looked like Raquel had eliminated Shayna, but the bell didn't ring. So it looked like, you know, Raquel celebrating. People in attendance, of course, I'm sure spotted Chelsea hiding there opposite of the hard cam. And And so she comes out, comes in, tries to jump in and eliminate Raquel. You've seen this trick before in past Royal Rumbles and Battle Royals where someone will come out from hiding and trick everyone, and then they win the match. But in this case, it didn't work out for Chelsea. Raquel felt her there. She attacked her, and she didn't even get a chance to really throw her over. Raquel's so such a big athlete compared to Chelsea, who's got good size as well. And Raquel's able to eliminate her. And that was the end of the Women's Battle Royal. So now Raquel heads to Perth this Saturday. Again, that's at 5 a.m. Eastern time, the Elimination Chamber match. And whoever wins that match is going to WrestleMania. But keep in mind, you have Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax happening in Perth. We'll get to that in a little bit. And then actually, we'll get to that now. Because speaking of Nia and Rhea, they had a little interview side by side, split screen. Via satellite, quote unquote. Nothing major, just Rhea kind of is letting Nia know, I'm going to be home. I got the home cooking. I'm paraphrasing. I got the home cooking. I'm home field advantage, so to speak. It's my home. Haven't wrestled here in 7 years since I was in the Indies, Rhea said. Nia just gave her a snarly look and just said, I'm going to crush you. Essentially saying she's going to beat her, embarrass her, things like that. And then Rhea just walked off and just let her know, you know, I'm gonna kick your ass, essentially, this Saturday at my home, my backyard. So Rhea and Nia via satellite. Something new I noticed after that, coming up the next segment here, was, you know, if you don't know, WWE and UFC are merged now under TKO. So TKO is, of course, owns WWE and UFC. So you'll have a sort of like a cross appearances by wrestlers into UFC and vice versa. In this case, of course, we had UFC coming onto Monday Night Raw in Anaheim last night. And you had UFC star Michael Chandler come out and cut a promo. This is a UFC star on Monday Night Raw under the WrestleMania sign. You have to see this. If you haven't, check it out on YouTube or wherever. If you rewatch Raw, DVR, whatever, however you watch it. But Michael Chandler is under the WrestleMania, you know, the camera has the logo, the piece that's above everyone points at, above his head. And he's calling out in a mini, you know, short promo, he's calling out Conor McGregor. And I found that interesting. Now, of course, again, it's cross promotion, UFC and WWE merged. So I don't mind that. It's pretty interesting. But imagine they're actually doing that with the WrestleMania logo in the back. Maybe they're teasing something with those two at WrestleMania, Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler. I don't know. It could just be simple promotion to, hey, come watch our show over here, watch UFC over here. Once you're done watching WWE, our next show is this coming up. To show the WrestleMania logo, I'm just throwing it out there. May not happen. May not happen this year, maybe next year or in the future at another PLE pay-per-view. He called out, Michael Chandler called out Conor McGregor. Let's do this. Let's fight. Whatever he said, pretty much. And he's roaring and getting the crowd fired up. And the WrestleMania logo is there. So let me know what you think. Are we going to be seeing a UFC fight, or at least UFC fighters appear at WrestleMania in some capacity? It could be a tag match, or it could be one-on-one. Are they going to have UFC matches in WWE? I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. There are obviously top UFC stars that have come over in the past. There have been UFC-styled matches. Weren't pretty always, but they've happened. And does that lead to the next part of this question? Does that lead to maybe WWE stars heading to UFC? That one I can't see. No offense to WWE stars. They're the most athletically gifted, talented wrestlers and people in general overall in the world. But can we? I can see UFC adapting to WWE style. UFC stars adapting to WWE style. Obviously easier than a WWE star who has no UFC type of background, MMA background, going into UFC and fighting there. Maybe making an appearance, you know, something like that. But I don't know. We'll have to see. I might be going, you know, jumping the shark here, as they say. But at the very least, we did get, again, Michael Chandler with his promo on Conor with the WrestleMania logo in the background. It could have just been coincidence. It's WrestleMania season. You want to show WrestleMania everywhere. But we'll see. We'll have to see how that plays out. Keep your eye on that. Up next, we had an 8-man tag. We had The Miz, R-Truth, and DIY taking on Judgment Day. Of course, R-Truth and Judgment Day, this has been a fun storyline that's been going on for a little while since R-Truth returned. Well, that ended now. He, you know, the funny part, everyone loves R-Truth. Funny part is he thought he was a part of the group. And the funny thing is with Truth, you don't know if he's in character. You don't know if he's goofing off and just pretending or he really believes these things. I think we're all at the point where we believe that he believes he's in Judgment Day. He's got the t-shirts with his name on it. He's in their backstage area, their locker room or whatever you want to call it, their hub. And he's just always around. He's kind of nagging them on, annoying them, but they still keep him anyway. So now we'll fast forward to now. They kicked him out officially last week on Raw. He lost to JD McDonagh and they beat him up and that was it. Now he's back with Miz and DIY, who he's calling DX. He's thinking that they're Shawn Michaels and Triple H, which is hilarious. Gargano being Shawn Michaels and Ciampa being Triple H. So anyway, that's what happened there. 8-man tag. Judgment Day did get the win with Damian Priest hitting R-Truth with the choke slam at the end. And so they got the one up on R-Truth yet again. You got to believe at some point R-Truth's going to cost them. It could be in Australia. The tag titles are on the line. Balor and Priest this Saturday. Maybe something happens there. Truth costs them. He's like, all right, that's it. They've screwed me over. They kicked me out, quote unquote, and now they're beating me in this tag match. So again, something else to keep your eye on. And again, this can happen for Perth. This could happen at WrestleMania. Maybe Judgment Day retains, and then Truth gets his revenge at WrestleMania. That's the fun part about WrestleMania season. So many theories, so many ways things can go. That's the fun of it. And a lot of it is overthinking, overanalyzing. But some of it is clear. The writing's on the wall, but we'll have to see what happens here. Now, so we had the women's battle royal that happened earlier to make official the final participant in the women's chamber match. Now, the reason that happened was Shotzi was injured, legit. Shotzi will be out for the foreseeable future, unfortunately. So that's where Raquel came in. She returned. I don't know. The timing was perfect there. Maybe she wasn't meant to return so soon. But nonetheless, everything happens for a reason, as they say. One door closes, it opens up for someone else. Now, those women that are going to be in that chamber match this Saturday in Perth, they came out. Now, personally, I don't get picky about things in wrestling. I watch it. I'm not as picky as other people on social media in general. So I'm just pretty chill about it. But one thing that does drive me crazy is when they do this whole thing where, so all the chamber women were coming out. There are six of them. Bianca Belair, Tiffany, Becky, Naomi, Raquel, and Liv. Those are the women that are going to be in the chamber match this Saturday, right? So what they'll do is they'll have one woman come out. First one to come out was Becky. She'll say her little spiel, her quick promo promoting the match this Saturday. Then I believe Liv came out next. And then Raquel. And then so on and so forth. Naomi came out. Then Tiffany, then Bianca. It's just, I don't want to say cringe, that word's thrown around a lot, but it's just kind of, it's wrestling, you know, suspend your disbelief. But I've just never been a fan of the, oh, here comes this person, then comes that person, then the next person right after. I mean, this is just mere like seconds, one after another. It doesn't feel authentic. And again, I hate to be nitpicky. I'm not one of those fans. I'm not one of them, believe me. I'm the one that defends a lot of stuff, but this is one of those that just drives me nuts. Like, I get it. You want to have all the women or whoever's in any match, men or women, whatever, come out, and then one by one, all right, here's that guy, here's the second guy, here's the third guy. I get it. Why not mix some of them backstage or in just some other way, or maybe later in the show? I don't know. But it is an old school thing. I guess that's never going to die. It is what it is. But they all come out. At the end, they do brawl. Tiffany attacks Liv, and then everyone starts fighting each other. Becky attacks Bianca, who's in heels. Bianca's in heels, by the way. You got to see it. It's incredible. I think Pat McAfee brought that up, which is funny. But as all the six women are fighting, here comes Nia. Nia Jax comes out. She had her via satellite promo earlier in the program with Rhea, and now she comes out and wipes out everybody. She just absolutely destroys all six of those women, and that sets up a warning. She's, you know, the warning is I'm going to beat Rhea in her home, win the title, and now you're going to run into me at WrestleMania. So there you go. I like that. I like the buildup. Besides the women coming out after one after another, whatever. But the, you know, Nia, I know she's not super popular with wrestling fans. I get it. My brother and I met her years ago at WrestleMania 33. which is pretty cool. She was nice. I know people don't like her for whatever reason. I'm not going to get into the details on that. That's up to you. You like her, don't like her. I don't have a problem with her. I get it. Why people don't or aren't fans of hers, but I don't know. I guess what it is one of those things where you meet someone, you go off of your experience with them. She was sweet to us, whatever. So I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of hers. I'm not a fan of hers either. I don't dislike her. I think she's all right. You know, I think for her skills, like my skills, they're not, you know, the greatest. I'm not here to dictate what's great or not great. I'm not a wrestler. they could be better. But for her physique, her monster-like ability, I love this. She came out. It was believable. She wiped out the women. So it's like, okay, think of it from the six women's perspective, right? No matter what they've done in the past, they've main events at WrestleMania, one time, whatever. They're going to go into Elimination Chamber. It's supposed to be a brutal match. Their bodies are going to be destroyed, and then someone's going to come out on top and win. And then your prize, your possible prize, is taking on Nia Jax a month and change later at WrestleMania. That doesn't sound too fun. And if Nia Jax doesn't win, Rhea wins, you still got to face Mommy, who's always on top. It's a lose-lose situation. But obviously, physically speaking, you're going to face Nia Jax if she wins at WrestleMania. She already wiped out all six of you. You're already going to have your body mangled from the chamber. Congrats, you're going to WrestleMania, and now you're fighting Nia Jax if she wins. I mean, that's just... I like the seed planted there. I don't think Rhea's going to lose in Australia, by the way. I cannot see that happening. Has that happened in the past where the hometown wrestler loses? Of course. That's actually a thing that's happened often, more often than not. I just don't see Rhea. Rhea is such a huge talent. Even if they weren't in Perth, they could be anywhere else. Kalamazoo, Michigan. New York, wherever. I think she would win. But especially being at home, I think things are reversed. A shocker. There's only four matches in the card for Elimination Chamber, but the shocker to me would be that Rhea loses her title at home. I just don't see it in WrestleMania season. If this was like June or July, August, you know, kind of like the more quiet, I mean, you have SummerSlam later on, but the quiet months of wrestling, non-Royal Rumble WrestleMania season, I would say, okay, maybe Nia is going to win and then hold the belt for a little bit. I do think Nia at some point is going to win the title. I don't know when. But we'll see when that happens. But yeah, she wiped out everyone, so that was the end of that segment. Up next, you still have the rivalry between Gable and Ivar. The match was pretty solid. There were some high spots there. You know, Ivar, this is another thing. I know I mentioned a minute ago, I'm not picky. It's 2024. Ivar's got the Viking gimmick, and I'm all for that. I'm an old school fan. I grew up watching wrestling in the 90s. My first wrestling event I ever attended was in 97. Before Stone Cold even became champion, right? I'm as old school as you can get. I saw Shawn Michaels, you know, all those guys in their prime. Undertaker, you know, I've seen all the gimmicks like you guys have that are my age. I don't mind Viking gimmicks. We've seen clowns, we've seen garbage guys, we've seen hockey players, we've seen them all. What haven't we seen? But for some reason, the Viking gimmick in today's day and age, something's off. And I'm not blaming how they're portraying it. I think Ivar looks the part. I mean, this guy looks like he came out from a different century. He teleported, time travel, whatever. It's just, I think they're becoming to be a little hokey, as they say. I think the fans are not really buying it. They understand he's a Viking and all that, but it's just something is off. Maybe we're just past those things. Maybe since Undertaker retired, you know, maybe that's it. You don't see gimmicks. Everyone's kind of like their real name. You had, of course, The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. I love The Fiend. I love Bray Wyatt. I love that character. Obviously, he unfortunately passed away. So he was really the last that I can really think of true gimmick after The Undertaker, as far as like supernatural being. Now, Viking is not a supernatural being per se, but maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just not. It's just really not believable. We could believe the zombie, undead, whatever you want to call it, and all that. But for some reason, the Viking Raiders just, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. However, with that being said, Ivar is super talented. I mean, he can jump, he can run, he can spin, he can do it all. For a guy that is, what, 3-something, if you haven't seen this man, if you have, you know what he looks like. If you haven't seen him, take a look at him, Ivar. And
you'll see what I mean. Like, you're going to be like, wait a minute, that guy can do this, jumping off the top rope and all this, running fast. And it reminds me of like the old days, like Vader, you know, very athletic, but I'd say he's more athletic because he's a little smaller, shorter, more compact than Vader was. But regardless, this match was good. Gable and Ivar. Gable, he's ripped. He's talented. You know, people have always compared him to like a mini Kurt Angle, of course. And he's super talented. And Ivar can run around that ring as well. But Gable gets the win here via submission with the ankle lock. So he got the win there. Clean match. Nothing crazy except for the high spots. No outside interference. It looks like they're probably going to end this rivalry that's been ongoing for a little bit. At the end, you had you had Gable, you know, he had his folks come out with him, as Tozawa and Maxine came out. They came out and celebrated with him. So I got the vibe like it's going to end. We'll see, though. I don't know. We'll see if they continue that. And then on to the main event with main event Jey Uso versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther's been, as of yesterday, the Intercontinental Champion for 619 days up to that point. The match was really good. It was about 15, 20 minutes, a couple of commercial breaks in between. And guess what happened? Gunther retained his title, but not clean. Jey had it in the bag. He was ready to finish it off. Jey was getting destroyed. He was getting chopped, thrown around, powerbombed. They were fighting on the outside for a lot. It was a pretty brutal match. No weapons or anything, just a regular singles match. But Jimmy, his brother, Jey's blood brother, twin brother, Jimmy, again, just like he did in the top of the show, comes out and attacks Jey. No solo this time, just Jimmy alone. He rang the bell. As Jey was about to get the pinfall from the splash from the top rope, Jimmy rings the bell as the ref's counting to two. One, two, ding, 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 ding. Jimmy just distracting Jey. Jey comes out, and then he just jumps on Jimmy and security outside through the middle rope. He goes back in. He goes for another splash on Gunther. Gunther rolls him up. He reverses, rolls him up, and pins him 1-2-3, retains his title. He gets out the ring. Jimmy goes in. He starts beating down on Jey Uso, his own brother, again, twin brother. Just, it's hard to watch. I got a brother, so I was like, I can't see that. I know, of course, inside they're having fun because those two want to have a WrestleMania match. So I guess this is it. I guess they're getting it. Now, they wanted to main event it. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. There's still time. My thought was, of course, originally it was going to be CM Punk and Rollins was the rumor on night one, and then night two, Reigns versus Cody. Obviously, Punk and Rollins, that's out the window. Now, with Rollins kind of like injured or whatever, we feel that there's going to be a tag match, Rock Reigns versus Rollins and Cody. So if that doesn't happen, my thought was they'll have a women's match to close out night one for the championship. Which women's match, I guess we'll have to see that, what that would be. Maybe the Raw one. With that being said, there could be an opening for Jimmy and Jey now with all that happening, with the injuries and maybe plot twists and changes. If it's going to be Rock Reigns tag match against Cody Rollins, that's closing out night one. Absolutely. Easily. If that doesn't happen for whatever reason, and something else happens with The Rock and that storyline, then yeah, maybe Jimmy and Jey do close out, unless it's the women's title match. Maybe Jimmy and Jey do get their main event WrestleMania match for night one. I mean, you can argue that that would be more important, Jimmy and Jey, over anything else that they can put, because it's the Bloodline story. And as we're heading near what appears to be the end, possibly, of the Bloodline storyline, well, what better way than to end it with the brothers on night one? I mean, at some point down the road, I feel Jimmy's going to go back and team up with Jey at some point, somehow. Maybe it happens at WrestleMania. Who knows? Maybe after their match, you know, something happens. Maybe Solo's pissed that maybe Jey wins, Solo's pissed that Jimmy loses, and then Jey saves him, something like that. So we'll see. So that was the closing to Raw. Jimmy attacks Jey, and then that's how Raw ended, him posing, looking at the crowd. Crowd is booing. So Jimmy Jey, looks like it's going to be happening. Not official yet, but obviously the seed has been planted. And there you go. That was Monday Night Raw. 3 hours of it. There were some segments in between backstage, but nothing major. just kind of like just for the show, you know, nothing like, this could happen at Mania or even the Chamber. All the main stuff happened this week. Although it's WrestleMania season, this week's all about the Elimination Chamber. Now, for my next recording will be on SmackDown this Friday. Now, SmackDown is going to be pre-recorded since they're going to be in Australia. If they're not already there now, they're going to be there the next couple of days. So, of course, SmackDown will not be live this Friday. They did a double recording last Friday when The Rock was there with his cutoff fancy shirt. They did a super show, whatever you want to call it, recording for SmackDown. So those fans got to see two SmackDown shows, from my understanding. So this Friday will be recorded. However, I'm going to treat it the same way. I'm gonna still watch it. I'm not going to even read the spoilers. Maybe I will. I don't know. Probably not. I'm going to try to avoid them. I don't expect anything major to happen, but I will have a breakdown of SmackDown on the next episode. So let me know what you guys thought about Monday Night Raw. Let me know what you thought about my breakdown. I was thinking about if I should have it short, like 10, 15 minutes. We're about 25 minutes here. One major thing I want to know about the Champ Cave podcast is what kind of episodes, like the length of them. What are you guys all fans of, guys and girls out there listening? You want? I left a poll on the podcast. Do you want shorter episodes, longer? Let me know. I think 25 is a pretty decent amount, but I can always condense it even further. So let me know what you thought about Raw. Let me know what you think about the episode. And I will definitely be seeing you all on Friday for SmackDown. I'm going to watch it, and then I'll probably do the recording. I'll drop the recording Saturday. Now, this is going to be weird because, of course, again, Elimination Chamber is this Saturday, 5 a.m. Eastern time. That's right, 5 a.m. Eastern time Saturday. So I'm going to probably upload the recording after the Chamber for SmackDown. So just to keep it going, consistency here. But going forward, yeah, I'll have SmackDown uploaded on Saturdays, the complete breakdown of SmackDown. So for this one, it'll be weird because everything that happened at the Chamber would have happened and my recording will come out for SmackDown after that. But don't be alarmed. That's only a one-off. We're not going to have many 5 a.m. Eastern time PLE/pay-per-views, that I don't think anyway. A lot of things are changing with TKO and WWE UFC merging. A lot of things are changing. You see a lot of UFC stuff creeping into WWE. A lot of the camera shots, the wrestlers going into the arena earlier on in the day. That's a UFC thing. Kevin Dunn, who's the producer backstage for all that, the camera work essentially, he's gone. So whoever, I don't know who's the head now, but whoever that is, you can see the presentation is still the same, but they've added more, which makes it feel more legit, like sports. If you watch a lot of sports, you know what I mean. And if you watch UFC, you know what I mean. They show a lot more graphics, who's in the ring, the commercials while the action's going on in the ring. That's not new, but they're doing more of that. But again, the wrestlers walking into the arenas slash stadiums with their gear, like that is something straight from UFC, which is pretty cool. So they bring a lot of that over. You already had the UFC fighter Michael Chandler pop up on Raw. Be on the lookout for that. He called out Conor McGregor with the WrestleMania logo looming above his head. So there's a lot to look forward to. This Raw wasn't like an absolute like must see, you know, game changer, but it definitely furthered the plot, if you want to say that, for WrestleMania and for the Chamber. So nonetheless, hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. Let me know what you think once again. And I'll be seeing you all on Saturday. I will also have a breakdown of the Elimination Chamber. I'll have that probably for Sunday morning. So I'll probably record that Saturday night. And then Sunday, it'll be there. Just follow me on my socials. I'm on Twitter/X, Facebook. I'm on Twitch, YouTube, TikTok. I'm all over to search the Champ Cave anywhere you are on social media. And I should be there. And I'll have updates on when my episodes will be dropping. And we're going to get more consistent. And this is going to be fun. So hope to see you guys soon. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you guys next time. Take care.